From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series in the Law of God with another portion of a message dealing with the third commandment, which forbids taking God's name in vain. God has revealed Himself through His name, and He will hold men accountable for the way in which they use that name, for His name is holy. Although many people pay little attention to this commandment, God has attached to it a severe warning that He will not hold him guiltless that takes His name in vain. In this portion of the message, Dr. Cairns begins to identify some of the ways in which the men may take the Lord's name in vain. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to listen to this brief devotional message taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text comes from Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. When our Lord in mercy passed by and saw us in our blood, He first of all said, Live. And this He did first, because life is one of the absolutely essential things in spiritual matters, and until it be bestowed, we are incapable of partaking in the things of the kingdom. Now the life which grace confers upon the saints at the moment of their quickening is none other than the life of Christ, which, like the sap from the stem, runs into us, the branches, and establishes a living connection between our souls and Jesus. Faith is the grace which perceives this union, having proceeded from it as its first fruit. It is the neck which joins the body of the church to its all-glorious head. O faith, thou bond of union with the Lord, is not this office thine? And thy fit name in the economy of gospel types and symbols apposite, the church's neck, identifying her in will and work, with him ascended? Faith lays hold upon the Lord Jesus with a firm and determined grasp. She knows his excellence and worth, and no temptation can induce her to repose her trust elsewhere. And Christ Jesus is so delighted with his heavenly grace that he never ceases to strengthen and sustain her by the loving embrace and all-sufficient support of his eternal arms. Here, then, is established a living, sensible, and delightful union which casts forth streams of love, confidence, sympathy, complacency, and joy, whereof both the bride and bridegroom love to drink. When the soul can evidently perceive this oneness between itself and Christ, the pulse may be felt as beating for both, and the one blood as flowing through the veins of each. Then is the heart as near heaven as it can be on earth, and is prepared for the enjoyment of the most sublime and spiritual kind of fellowship.
Thank you.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and that you'll join us on our website this week.
It's also proper to use the Lord's name in witness. From time immemorial, the solemn oath has been an appeal to God to confirm the truth of what we say. And in its proper setting, a solemn oath is a serious religious exercise. It is never to be spoken out of mere passion, anger, or vehemence. Paul said to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 1:23, I call God for a record upon my soul. He said to the Philippians in verse 8 of chapter 1, God is my record, how greatly I long after you all. And in one of the most solemn oaths ever taken, in Romans chapter 9, Paul says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Let me say, any professing Christian who could ever make that vow or take that oath and then deliberately lie, I think is still an unbeliever in heart and a stranger to God. It's a solemn thing. Solemn oath in witness, for God is my witness in every word I say and every act I take. A special form of this appeal to God, especially in the Old Testament, though also in the New, was the casting of the lot. Lots were cast before God to determine a matter of great importance, concerning which the will of God could not be ascertained in any other way, or where there was no satisfactory decision possible. In Acts chapter 1, we find that after prayer, looking for one to fill the shoes of Judas Iscariot in the company of the apostles, after prayer, the only way they could discover the will of God was by lot. They cast lots, and the casting of the lot was an acknowledgement of God's providence and God's control. It was an appeal to God. Proverbs 16:33, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole, if I could give a modern word, the whole decision, the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. That's why Solomon could say two chapters later, the lot causeth contentions to cease. You see, the lot was an appeal for God to confirm the truth and the revelation. Now, abuses of the lot are very ancient. Lotteries are not modern inventions. They go back at least to Roman times. And strangely, the same arguments that are now made in their favor were made in their favor back then. They are innocent fun. Very often, we are told now, and very often they were told back in ancient times, this is a painless way to finance good public policy. How often we hear, it will help schools, it will help education, it will help the underprivileged, it will do this, it will do that. The same arguments then as now. The truth is that lotteries are always destructive to public and private morals. They are not innocent fun. I don't want to get away off the subject, but I think I should say all use of a dice is not wrong. All games of chance are not wrong. If you've ever played snakes and ladders, you ever play that? You roll a dice. Back in our country, and I'm sure you do it here too, or did it, in the old days, they had a game called Ludo, where you roll the dice and you had to get a six to get out, and you had little plastic men you moved around, and you kept on getting dumped home and go back until you had all your men off the board. I don't think that's wrong. You see, life itself largely involves dealing with the unexpected. Life itself involves living with risk and knowing how to act and react whatever happens. I was just thinking today, my mother was the greatest shark at playing Ludo I ever met. And as I stopped to think of it, it exemplified her life. It would seem that everybody else was getting what she needed, but patiently using what came her way, she would usually win or be there at the end. That's exactly how it was in life. All use of the dice is not wrong, but what's wrong with the lottery is that it is a perversion of the God-given use of the lot to appeal to His sovereign providence to further a breach of the 10th commandment, which is, thou shalt not covet. That's what's wrong with the lottery. Let me say that whether you do the lottery or not, you have a responsibility to make good use of God's revelation to you. You should hear it, you should heed it, you should herald it. Now, this is how far we've come. Follow me carefully. Graciously, God has revealed His name to us. That revelation imposes a very grave responsibility on us to glorify and honor that name. And thirdly, now, the commandment warns us not to shirk this responsibility. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. There are various ways of failing to sanctify the Lord's name, and the third commandment warns against each of them. I'm going to be very brief and name seven ways in which men commonly break the third commandment. One, levity. Psalm 96 verse 4 says, the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. And we only use the Lord's name properly when we use it soberly. When we use it intelligently, that is, with reason, with understanding, and with good purpose. We only use the Lord's name properly when we use it for His glory or for the good of ourselves or our fellow man. Remember that to take the Lord's name in vain means to use it frivolously. And I want to make a statement from this pulpit tonight that I hope you will never forget. I believe that God has created in humankind a sense of humor, but I believe that as with every other faculty and gift, it must be sanctified and it must be kept under the control of God and His Spirit. We should learn that it is never, 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 never right to use the name of God in a joke. I have heard preachers get up to preach the Bible and they start off by blaspheming the very name of Him whom they claim to represent by the levity with which they use His name. If your humor includes the name of God, His person, His titles, His works, your humor is of the devil. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, frivolously. You may be surprised that I say, secondly, sorcery. Do you think we live in some remote tribal village? No, I don't. When I refer to sorcery, I refer to incantations using the Lord's name in occult practice. And very interestingly, the Old Testament notes that false prophecy is a special kind of sorcery. We read of Balaam in chapter 24, verse 1 of Numbers, when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not at other times to seek for enchantments. To the false prophet, the name of Jehovah was just a magical charm. Now let me make a far-reaching statement. All magical incantations of the divine name belong to sorcery, not Christianity. There is something chillingly evil about the constant repetition of the name Jesus. 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 In charismatic and other services, using that holy name as if it were a charm. Charms are devilish sorcery. It's taking the Lord's name in vain. Third, perjury. Perjury is confirming falsehood with an oath. Leviticus 19:12 says, "Ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shall ye profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord." Now this is a very serious and widespread evil in everyday life. It always has been. Jeremiah lamented in chapter 5, 2, "Though they say the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely." We have this on every hand today, people invoking the name of God as a witness for what they are saying, and all the time they are swearing lies. That is perjury. It's not only an evil in private life, it's an evil in public life. From the president down, the magistrates take an oath of office, and they often profane God's name by including that in their oath, and then blaspheming it with their insolent neglect of their oath. Ministers and elders, as they are confirmed in their holy calling, often commit a breach of the third commandment because they effectively commit perjury, swearing before God and man as ministers of the gospel what they will do and what they will not do, and then promptly forgetting all about it. That is perjury. A fourth way is blasphemy. Blasphemy is reproaching or reviling God. It's contempt for God. We read that tonight in Leviticus chapter 24 of the son of the Israelitish woman who cursed by the name of Jehovah, who blasphemed Jehovah. The Lord looks on blasphemy as an attack upon His person, or His providence, or His promise. It's something that comes from the devil, ultimately. It has the malignity of Satan within it. You remember what we read in Revelation 13:5 concerning the beast, that satanic emissary on the earth in the last days? "There was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies." Now what is blasphemy? Well, it's reviling the Lord, but it is particularly speaking against Him.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.